baseball is the fastball. The reason it's such an important pitch is that all your pitches are thrown off the same arm speed and hand speed as your fastball. So it's important to have an efficient fastball from the standpoint of the carryover of hand and arm speed to your secondary pitches, your changeup, and your breaking pitches. Another thing that makes the fastball so important is because most hitters are fastball hitters, and they swing at fastballs. And from a philosophical perspective as a pitcher, the easiest way to get the hitter out is with his pitch. What I need to do is throw it just out of his effective contact zone, just below his effective hitting velocity, just above his effective contact zone. I know he's going to swing at the fastball. So now I have to be able to throw fastballs to start his bat. My job is to get hitters to swing, to start their bat. When I get them to start their bat, I have a chance to get them out because contact is my friend. I can't be afraid of contact. In the big leagues, 63% of all fairly batted balls are outs. Contact works for me, not against me. On the amateur levels, where the disparity between hitters and pitchers is greater, the outstanding pitcher's percentages are far more in his favor. So the fastball is critically important. In a ball game, I'm going to throw at least 60% fastballs, maybe more, unless I happen to be an off-speed pitcher and the fastball is my contrast pitch. But in general, most pitchers, basic pitch is the fastball. The fastball is more than one pitch. It's not just a fastball. It's a four-seam fastball. It's a two-seam fastball with the seams. It's a two-seam fastball across the seams. It's a fastball in, it's a fastball out. It's a fastball up, it's a fastball down. All these pitches are fastballs, but they're all different. It takes different skills to hit each one of these pitches. All of these pitches have different characteristics. The four-seam fastball has more velocity than, say, the two-seam fastball. You can have effective pitching ranges with your fastball. A little extra fastball, a little bit less, a BP-type fastball. You have countless options with your fastball. Let's look at the basic fastball right now. The first fastball that we would probably teach a younger pitcher. That's the four-seam fastball. And I want to take this four-seam fastball across the wide seams because that gives me one, two, three, four seams that rotate. And I'm going to take the horseshoe of the fastball, of the baseball. I'm going to either point it in or out, wherever you're most comfortable. We'd like to have our fingers close together. They could be touching. Slight spread is okay. We don't want a big spread out of our fingers because when we do that, we tighten our wrist and our forearm, which retards our hand speed and our arm speed. We'd like to have our thumb underneath our index finger and our middle finger. The thumb generally is, the side of the thumb is on the seam of the ball. Some pitchers have a tendency to want to tuck their thumb a little bit more, which reduces the resistance against the ball. Some pitchers will move their thumb over to provide a little bit more movement. The value of the four-seam fastball is it's going to be a little bit more, it'll have a little bit more velocity. Also, it'll have less movement, so there's more chance of it being accurate. You don't have to adjust and allow for the movement of the pitch. The four-seam fastball is thrown out in the hand. We don't want to choke that any fastball back in our hand for that matter because we have more resistance in here, less spin, less velocity. Now for your younger pitchers, obviously they'll have to take it back in their hand a little bit more, but when you choke the ball, you destroy the effectiveness of the pitch. The two-seam fastball, there are two types. There's a two-seam with the seam fastball that's held along the narrow seams. And again, there's variation with the thumb placement here. The tendency for this pitch is to have tailing or running action. This is a pitch that could also have some sink if you're inside the ball a little bit. There'll be more movement on this pitch, and with the same amount of effort, probably a little less velocity. This is a fastball that I'm going to throw down over the middle of the plate to provide a ground ball. I'm going to throw down and in that may provide a swing and a miss. I'm going to throw it away from my arm side. And in many instances, pitchers will have some movement away from their arm side where it could tail back on the corner. I could throw it away toward my arm side, but away from a left-hander, start on the corner and tail away from him. That could produce a hook ground ball or a swing and a miss. The third type of fastball is a two-seam across the seam fastball. And this fastball, especially if I come a little bit more off to the inside of the ball and I stay inside the ball with a little firmer wrist will provide a sinking action and a two-plane sinking action if I'm in a three-quarter arm slot where the ball will move down and in. This pitch will have a little less velocity than your four-seam fastball and maybe even your two-seam with the seam fastball, and it's a pitch that produces a lot more ground balls. It's great in a double play situation. It's a good pitch with the infield in to keep the ball in the infield. Your four-seam fastball is basically a pitch when you need to throw a strike that you throw. You can throw it away from a hitter in a two-strike situation to put a hitter away. It'll have a little more velocity. It'll get on the hitter a little bit faster. There's less action on the ball, so there's more of a chance to be accurate. You don't have to aim one place to get the ball to end up in another place. Anytime you throw the ball up in the strike zone, we'd like to throw that four-seam fastball, especially in that chase zone where hitters swing at that high fastball, out of their effective contact zone, but up into their chase zone and non-effective contact zone. For many pitchers, when we throw above the waist and in on hitters, that four-seam fastball is the best fastball to throw because it's easy to locate. You don't have to start it out over the plate. Maybe you start it too far out over the plate and let it tail in. This ball is going to be pretty true. However, some pitchers like to throw that two-seam fastball up in the strike zone because what it does, it'll start out over the plate, and when you throw it to the same arm side pitcher, like a right-hander to a right-handed hitter, they'll start for that ball out over the plate, then it'll run in on him and hit him on the hands where they'll hit the ball weakly. And to a left-handed hitter, in a two-strike situation, many times that left-hander with the ball starting in will buckle and the ball tails back over the plate for a third strike. You'll see that a lot with pitcher like Greg Maddux, who buckles a lot of left-handers and gets strikes on the inside part of the plate, especially effective when you want to put hitters away in a two-strike situation. The high fastball is a particularly good pitch to complement pitchers that have short, hard, down-breaking pitchers because they start up and end up down in the strike zone. A lot of hitters will swing at this high fastball thinking that it's a breaking ball, and then they'll be underneath the ball. Most swings and misses at fastball finds hitters underneath the ball. Also, this is particularly true with a pitcher that has a split finger that breaks straight down. The high fastball also has value to the hitter in terms of changing his eye switch. In other words, a hitter is really locked into the low ball, and because most pitchers pitch down and most umpires call most of their strikes down, they call very few strikes up in the zone, and they really get dialed in on that zone down. Now I throw a high fastball and they have to move their eyes off that low zone. When they reset on that low zone, they're not as precise, so now they're not as good hitting the ball down, and so that high four-seam fastball has some benefit there. So in conclusion, the fastball is many faceted. It's an inside fastball, it's an outside fastball. The inside fastball, especially when you establish it for strikes, opens up the whole plate for the pitcher. Now he can throw fastballs away that pitchers or hitters end up pulling out and can't reach. He ends up throwing breaking balls away that they open up early on and they can't reach because they're so concerned about the inside fastball. It's an outside fastball that takes another skill for a hitter to hit. He must stay in, he must let it get deep. So it takes two different particular skills to hit the inside and the outside fastball. The fastball down requires another skill, especially if it has some movement. And most two-seam fastballs that are down do have some tailing or sinking action. The fastball up takes another set of skills for the hitter to hit. The fastball that's four seams is different than the fastball that has two seams in terms of movement and in terms of velocity. So the fastball is an incredibly important pitch. It should be the first pitch in your pitching repertoire. And your ability to vary the seam and grip arrangement as well as the speed is really important. It's very important not to move too fast on the fastball. The first thing you need to do is develop your ability to throw that four-seam fastball and hit your target. Once you can do that, then you can move on. With young guys, more is less. Sometimes three types of fastballs too much. The fastball in, the fastball away. Maybe what I need to do is first learn to establish a fastball away from my arm side, then work my way to the other side of the plate. When I first establish that fastball away, I know that I'm not going to be rushing, and mechanically I'm going to be more in sync when I throw away from my arm side. Once I can do that, then I can add on. I can add on fastballs in, then I can add on two-seam fastballs, then I can add on sinking fastballs. I can work up, I can work down. Youth league pitchers can pitch with fastballs alone. If they've got command, can hit their target, they've got a chance to defend themselves with just the fastball. For me, the second most important pitch is the changeup. And the changeup is a change of speed pitch. It's a contrast pitch. It's a pitch that is going to set up all your other pitches. It comes out of your hand just like the fastball. The arm speed and the hand speed is exactly the same as the fastball. What the changeup is a pitch that's a foot slower than your fastball. It's a pitch that the hitter swings at thinking it's a fastball as a result of your release and your hand speed, and instead of being right on it, he's a foot ahead of it. So if it's inside, he ends up pulling it foul. If it's over the middle of the plate, he's out on his front foot and he hits a weak ground ball or a pop-up. If it's away from him, he cues it off the end of the bat or he swings and misses at it. The changeup destroys the hitter's timing. Hitting is timing. Your job is to start people's bats by hitting your target and by destroying their timing. If you throw a changeup and the hitter's out in front, he has to adjust. His adjustment is to wait. So now if I have a changeup that I can throw over the plate and the hitter is forced to wait, what does that do for my fastball? The contrast makes him wait longer, so without even increasing the velocity of my fastball at all, it's increased the effectiveness and the relative velocity of my fastball, because now he can't start his bat so soon. So now that 80 mile an hour fastball becomes maybe an 84 mile an hour fastball, relatively speaking. How do I take a foot off the changeup? Now, a lot of people talk about changeup in terms of miles per hour, 10, 15 miles per hour. I talk about it in terms of the hitter. The hitter will tell you if it's the right speed. You can't generalize to the point saying that everybody's changeup should be 10, 15, or whatever miles an hour slower than their fastball, because one guy may have more movement, one guy's changeup may come out of his hand more like a fastball, one guy's changeup may come out of his hand with less movement, and so maybe he has to have less velocity on it. So there's no always or never there in terms of velocity. That hitter, if he's right on your changeup, either we shouldn't throw him a changeup or the changeup's too fast. If he double clutches and hits your changeup, or he takes it because he reads it, it's so slow, maybe that changeup needs to be sped up a little bit. The changeup's a pitch that we want to have the hitter swing at. We want to start his bat. We want to start their bat pretty much with every pitch so we can conserve pitches and pitch late into the game. You only get people out when they swing the bat, unless you have two strikes on them, then you can put them away. You may have two levels of changeup. Doug Jones, who pitches very successfully as a short reliever in the big leagues, has a variety of changeups. He's got slow, slower, and slowest to destroy the hitter's timing. And a lot of pitchers that are off-speed pitchers, their contrast pitch is their fastball. So if you can throw your changeup for strikes and your breaking ball for strikes, then maybe your contrast pitch becomes your fastball. How do I learn to throw the changeup? Well, number one, the way you change the speed of the pitch is in your grip and the part of the ball that you throw. When you throw the fastball, you're basically throwing the back of the ball, whether it's a two-seam, four-seam, or two-seam across fastball. Sometimes when I sink the ball, I'm going to be a little bit more on the inside back of the ball. The changeup, I'm going to throw the back inside of the ball. And the way I change the speed of the ball is with my grip. I'm going to take a looser, deeper grip. I may just take my fastball grip and hold it a little bit deeper and a little bit looser, and trust my hand and arm speed and throw the pitch. Okay. If that takes enough off of it where the hitter's out in front or he swings and misses at it, that's great. A lot of people have gone to the circle changeup grip. Whatever grip you go to, and I'll demonstrate that circle changeup grip in just a second, whatever grip you go to, the key is looser, deeper grip, or maybe even just looser grip. If a looser grip and throwing the inside of the ball where I'm not going to get as much hand speed and wrist snap at the point of release, if that does it, that's fine. The closer I can keep it to my fastball, the better. It's a very easy pitch on your arm because your hand naturally pronates. When you release the ball, I don't have to do anything extra. I'm not trying to turn it over. I'm just basically coming off on the inside of the ball. And what I'd like to have that ball do is have two plane action where it moves down and towards my arm side. Let's say I want to change my grip, or I need to change my grip to throw the changeup. Here's one option, and it's a very popular one now, and this is called the circle change. And what you're doing is you're making a circle with your thumb and your index finger. You're taking the ball, and I subscribe to take the ball with the narrow seams inside the circle so that when I release the ball, it's got four seam rotation on it. When I get four seam rotation, I get more spin. And when I get more spin, it creates an optical illusion that the ball is smaller. So from here, it's a loose, deep grip. The ball just sits in my hand. I come off the inside of the ball, and the ball just comes out the side of my hand. Exact same release, extension. I'm just finishing more palm out. When I finish my fastball, I'm finishing a little bit more palm up. When I'm throwing my changeup, I'm finishing a little more palm out on my finish. But the extension, hand speed, and release is exactly the same. Another option on the changeup, and this is especially a good one for left-handed pitchers, it seems to work, is a three-finger changeup. I can hold it out in my hand and loose if I need to, a little bit deeper in my hand and loose, but the key is throwing the back inside of the ball with a loose, deep grip. If the pitch is too fast, which the hitter's going to tell me, then to slow the pitch down, I loosen my grip a little bit. If I would like to move my thumb over a little bit to help me stay inside the ball, that's fine. What I want to get away from, and some pitchers have a tendency to do more, and they want to turn that changeup over. When you try and do too much with it and turn it over, then they end up with shoulder and elbow problems, and it reduces their ability to decelerate their arm. The key is to throw it with trust and basically throw it for the middle of the plate or away from your arm speed. Anywhere in the strike zone is okay, because if you've done your job in terms of speed, even if the ball's up a little bit and the hitter's out on his front foot, unless he's got extraordinary power, he probably's just going to hit a fly ball. Some pitchers get very paranoid about their changeup, and they feel like they have to throw it at the knees or lower all the time, otherwise it's going to get hit. And basically what happens, they'll throw a lot of changeups in the dirt that come out of their hand looking like fastballs, and right out of their hand, they're non-competitive pitches because the hitter realizes right now that the ball is going to be in the dirt. In the early stages of the changeup, it's okay to throw the ball up. As long as we start people's bats with the changeup, it's very, that you've done your job. And pitchers are so concerned with outcome early on that as long as it doesn't get hit, that's okay, but it's not. You've got to throw it in the strike zone. And in order for this to happen, pitchers have to be put in situations where outcome, especially in the learning stages, is not the most important thing, learning how to throw the pitch. You learn how to throw the pitch by throwing it and throwing it every day, playing catch with it, playing purposeful catch with it, and throwing it in games without worrying about if it gets hit or not. It's okay to throw it up and have it get hit. That's okay. In the fall, we'll throw fastballs and changeups only for the first month. Anytime a guy misses with a changeup, he's got to come back and throw it again. No outcome. Don't worry about what happens. Doesn't matter if you give up 10 runs. The key is to develop the confidence and the trust to throw the pitch anytime you want. Behind in the count is a great time. Anytime the hitter is looking fastball, the changeup is a great pitch to throw, unless we've got the infield in and a runner on third base. But the changeup, is it a good first pitch pitch? If he's a dead red guy that sits on fastball first pitch, most definitely it's a good pitch to throw. Anytime he's looking fastball, can you throw it back to back? Definitely you can throw it back to back. If I throw a first pitch changeup and the hitter spins himself and swivels himself in the ground, hey, I'm going to throw it again to see if he can make an adjustment. If he can't make an adjustment, I'm going to keep coming at him. There are guys in the big leagues. Look at Greg Maddux, the best pitcher in baseball right now. What does he feature? Fastball and changeup. Tom Glavine, what does he feature? Fastball and changeup. Mario Soto, fastball and changeup. If you have great command and movement and you have a fastball and a changeup, you can pitch just about anywhere. You develop the changeup by throwing it. Another drill that we feel is really good in the developmental stage of the changeup is playing long catch with the changeup, 70, 75 feet with the changeup, and then work our way up to 60 feet 6 inches. One of the nice things about playing long catch with the changeup is that guys will maintain their hand speed when throwing over long distances. Another thing, when you're throwing long distances and you work your way up, your command improves every time you come up. So if I'm throwing to a catcher at 75 or 80 feet, now as I start to move up, my command is going to dramatically improve as I move up. The changeup is an outstanding pitch. It's especially great pitch for any young person when they're first learning how to pitch fastball and changeup, because there are guys in the big leagues that have success with fastball and changeup. It's a great equalizer. The guy with a less than average velocity fastball, it's a tremendous pitch for him. If you can take bat speed off a hitter's bat by throwing the changeup and forcing him to wait back, that dramatically helps your fastball. Let me add a couple things on the changeup. We talk about the changeup with fastball hand speed, and what we're doing is we're coming right from our power position, and instead of going behind the ball on the backside of the ball like our fastball, we're just going to stay inside the ball on our changeup and throw the back inside of the ball. From a developmental standpoint, another good drill in throwing your changeup, I know we talked about the 75-foot change, is by doubling up in the bullpen or even in the game, throw fastball and changeup alternately so that you can maintain your fastball hand speed for your changeup. By backing them up one after another, there's a carryover so that we maintain that hand and arm speed. The emphasis has got to be on extension. Early on, young guys tend to cut it off. They're afraid about throwing it too slowly or throwing it over the plate and having it get hit. That changeup has to get hit. Sometimes you have to fail before you can succeed. When we throw the back inside of the ball from our power position and stay inside the ball, it's going to produce a two-plane down and in type action. Now, maybe that down and in type action is going to start off the plate and run back over the middle, or off the plate and stay on the outside corner, or off the plate and run inside on the inside corner. Anywhere over the strike zone is fine. When I come to the back inside of the ball, it's going to produce a 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock type spin that's going to allow the ball to do that, whereas my fastball is going to be more 6 to 12 or even going to have some 1 to 7 spin when I throw that two-seam fastball. But the key is to throw the back inside of the ball with trust and hand speed and stay inside the ball to produce that two-plane action. Here's another drill we use on our changeup to keep our pitchers inside the ball. We use this double ball, and basically we've just put a screw through two balls and tied them together. And we work on playing catch, and we start with the ball on the outside of our hand so that we focus on staying inside the ball, and then we'll go with our changeup grip, whatever that grip happens to be, and just come off the inside of the ball and finish more palm out. But it just gives that pitcher the concept of staying inside the ball, and he knows that he's going to stay inside the outside ball so that he can take velocity off the ball and finish more palm out. I happen to be throwing this with just a fastball grip, but I could take the whole ball and go with a circle grip and affect the same action on the ball, and you'll visually see that ball move down and in towards my arm side. Whether it's from the outside of the plate to the middle of the plate or from the middle of the plate to the inside. The key here is not to throw this changeup too fine where it ends up being a ball. I want to start that hitter's bat and make sure that he swings at this pitch. I could go with a three-finger grip and do the same thing. And I can really see the spin of the ball, the tilt of the ball when I throw it, when I'm inside the ball. And I can really get that feel with this double ball. The breaking pitch is a change of direction pitch. For us, the breaking ball is a power pitch. Ideally, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a pitch that breaks late, hard, down, or down and across. We're looking for a pitch that comes out of our hand like a fastball. We're looking for a pitch that we can get underneath the hitter's bat. We're looking for a pitch that the hitter reacts to like it's a fastball. Either he buckles or he swings over the top of that. Just like all our other pitches, our breaking balls are thrown with fastball hand speed. The thing that changes the spin of the ball is the grip and the part of the ball that we throw. Basically, on our breaking ball, we're going to throw the front of the ball or the front outside of the ball. There are a number of variations on types of breaking balls. And I really believe in fastball, changeup, and one type of breaking ball. I don't think you can go into a game with two types of breaking balls. I think for most guys, when they try and do that, there's not enough pitches in the game to throw two types of breaking balls. I honestly believe that if you don't throw a pitch at least 15% of the time in a game, you don't have that pitch. Invariably, what happens with a guy with two breaking balls when he takes it into a great game, one will be working and the other won't. So now I end up throwing that one breaking ball, or if I throw them both, they end up overlapping and they end up being mediocre. I'd rather just focus on one type of breaking ball and then stay with my fastball, changeup, and breaking ball. There are a number of options for the breaking ball. And again, we talked about throwing the front of the ball or the front outside of the ball on our breaking ball. And we're talking about a curveball, more of a down-breaking curveball, or a slurve. Now, for me, the pitch that's going to give us the best results is the three-quarter breaking ball. I think that this down-breaking curveball, this 12-6 curveball, unless it's incredibly short in terms of break, one, is very tough to throw for a strike because you have to hit your release point exactly. You're throwing it for the middle of the plate. If it pops up out of your hand at all, and if it's up above your waist at all, it's not going to be called a strike. If you're out in front a little bit, it's bouncing in the dirt. It's a great pitch because it's basically the same axis as your fastball, and if thrown properly, it looks just like your fastball in terms of rotation. It can be equally effective to both right and left-handed hitters, but it's very tough to be consistent and throw it in the strike zone and have it for it to be an effective pitch. If you are throwing a down-breaking curveball, basically what's happening from my power position, I'm coming to almost like a karate chop position where I'm taking the side of my hand from, we say, the start of the summation of force curve. And the start of the summation of all forces when you throw is when your hand starts forward. So from this power position, I'm coming right from there, and it's curveball all the way. I think a lot of guys, and this principle applies to a three-quarter curveball or a down-breaking curveball, which is one of many breaking pitches that we're going to talk about today, that once I start forward, I'm thinking breaking ball. It's not fastball, 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 then change directions of your hand at the last minute to throw breaking ball. When you change directions, you're slowing your hand speed down. We want to come through with fastball hand speed and throw the front of the ball. Now, this down-breaking curveball, we'd like to have that four-seam grip because then we have more seams rotating and the ball spin faster, it'll break faster. When I throw it nose out straight down, this down-breaking curveball, which I said, it's got to come down out of my hand. I'm throwing it from the bill of the cap down and in. Now, for me, if I take that same principle as that downer curveball with that fastball hand speed and throwing the front of the ball and just tilt it a little bit to throw the front outside of the ball with my elbow up and forward, now I've got a little more tilt to my breaking ball. And what that does, it gives you a couple options there. It gives you 17 inches of plate to work with. Even though you don't want to throw it to your arm side, basically you'd like to throw it from the middle of the plate on out, especially to a right-handed hitter. But it gives you more plate to work with. Also, it's going to be a little bit quicker. It's going to have a little quicker break than your down-breaking curveball. And it's going to buckle the right-hand hitter because it starts at him and then breaks away. So they have a tendency to flinch at that pitch. But also it's going to be a little bit shorter and quicker. The downer curveball has a tendency to go up out of the pitcher's hand. And many times hitters will read the trajectory. They don't read the spin so much, in my opinion. They read the trajectory of the pitch, and they see the ball loop up out of your hand, and now they slow down their stride, and everything slows down so that they can be on time with that breaking ball. The three-quarter comes out more like a fastball and has more plate to work with. It's more likely to be called a strike, and you have more of the 17-inch plate to work with. Against left-handers, it's breaking hard, and even though it's coming into their swing, many times they don't read it as a breaking ball. And we can wrap it around their back foot, or even sometimes we can throw it back door away from a left-hander. Preference would be to pretty much consistently throw it middle of the plate on away from my arm side from a consistent release standpoint. As soon as you start trying to do too much and throw it back door and throw it here and throw it there, your command is going to suffer, especially in the early stages. So I have no qualms about throwing breaking balls as long as they're short and quick down and in on left-handers and wrap it around their back foot, especially if I can throw fastballs up and in on their hands, which is a good doubles combination with this curveball. The only difference between the downer curveball and this three-quarter curveball, from a release standpoint, instead of throwing the front of the ball, I'm throwing the front outside of the ball. I'm coming from a position where it's curveball all the way. I'm coming as if there's a doorway here from the upper right-hand corner of the doorway to the lower left-hand corner of the doorway. But I'm throwing it just like a fastball. I'm cutting off the outside of the plate with the side of my hand. Same hand speed, same arm slot. The only difference is the angle of my hand at the point of release. I'm throwing the front outside of the ball. And I'm holding the ball with my thumb on the horseshoe seam and my middle finger. The pressure is on this seam right here. But the key is that hand speed and trusting it, and then finding a release point that's going to allow the ball to be down in the strike zone, middle of the plate on out. A teaching point here for this breaking ball, like I said with the downer, is to throw it elbow up and forward. Okay, not elbow up and out. When I get my elbow up and out, I end up slinging the ball up there and it gets too flat and too rounded. I get my elbow up and forward, I'm in a much better leverage position. I always draw the analogy between hammering a nail with the elbow out or the elbow forward, where I'm going to hammer it deeper, obviously, with it up and forward. And I think about throwing it nose out, bill of the cap, down and in. I'm just throwing the front outside of the ball. And this pitch is going to have some depth to it in terms of break, as long as I'm in that three-quarter position and I'm not flat. I don't have to create spin like this. I just have to throw the ball just like a fastball. Ron Squires, who was an outstanding coach at Mount San Antonio Community College many years ago in Southern California, had a theory. He talked about the barrel theory. He talked about getting your elbow up over the barrel or your hand up over the barrel, around it, then back underneath it. If your curveball was too flat, you were going through the side of the barrel. You'll see this in a lot of young pitchers when they first start to throw the curveball. They end up trying to create spin and they have a big flat break, which as they get older won't get people out and will also produce a lot of bone chips in their elbow, because this is a hinge joint and it doesn't rotate. So getting that elbow up and forward over the barrel, around it, then back underneath it. If my curveball is loopy and lollipop like, it comes up out of my hands, usually the elbow is down and I'm going through the front of the barrel. If I bounce those curveballs and they're all 55-foot curveballs, I'm not reaching enough to get that curveball, the release point, out in front enough. So that's a teaching model where you can adjust your curveball based on this barrel that's up and forward of your shoulder. It's very similar throwing this breaking ball to taking a 100-pound sack over your shoulder. You've got to get it out, or casting a fishing rod, getting it out. You've got to reach out in front, fastball, hand speed. Now once I get out there, now I'm pulling back underneath. You'll see pictures of big league pitchers finishing curveballs, and they're all palm up when they finish. We talked about the fastball where they finish low, palm up, the changeup where I'm finishing palm out, and the curveball where I'm finishing palm up, but I'm much shorter because they're basically pulling hard down and in as they release that breaking ball. if your pitcher is having problems affecting a quick down, down and across type breakout of their curveball, there are some other grip options on this curveball. I can take this index finger and I can take it and raise it up off the seam, and to isolate more pressure on that middle finger and more pulling action with that, sometimes that helps. You're going to find some pitchers that are not going to be able to throw a down-breaking curveball or a slurvy three-quarter breaking ball, which is going to be that 2-8 type breaking ball from a right-hander that's going to have some tilt to it, and they just, for some reason, they can't develop that particular skill. And what we'll do with those guys is we'll try and throw some type of cut fastball type pitch. And I say a cut fastball because and a lot of people call the cut fastball a slider, but what we're looking for is a short, quick, late down and across pitch that maybe is going to break 4 inches across and 3 or 4 inches down. And what I do on this pitch, I'm going to change my grip again, and there are a number of variations on this grip for that cut fastball. One, I can take my four-seam fastball, slide my fingers over to the horseshoe, and throw the top of the ball. And I'm almost going to hook that pitch, and that ball is going to come out of my hand. And as long as I get it down and away, again, location's important, down and away, it's going to have that short down and across break. The key is working over the ball with fastball hand speed. Now my fastball is behind the ball. My cut fastball, I just continue over the ball, reach over the top of the ball, and I resist that pronation. I stay over the ball. Another option on the grip is to take that two-seam grip and turn it a quarter of a turn, where I'm in line with that horseshoe. So I've kind of diagonally bisected the two seams here and do the same thing, staying over the ball, throwing it with fastball hand speed. Where pitchers get in trouble with the cut fastball is they try and create spin and they try and come around the ball rather than trusting their grip and trusting their hand speed and staying over the ball. I don't want to create spin because then that flattens out that cut fastball or slider. It makes it long and it slows it down and it takes away the depth that we want from the two plane action where we can get it underneath that hitter's bat. So again, staying over the ball, fastball hand speed, throwing the top of the ball, and whatever grip you use, it's very individualized, but I'd like to try and get four seams rotating, whether it's a four seam offset or a two seam where I come a little bit diagonal with my middle finger on the ball and my thumb on the seam underneath, but the key is staying over the ball. Now, you're going to have some pitchers, the downer curveball can't happen, three-quarter curveball can't happen, the cut fastball can't happen, and when I say can't happen, it can't happen in terms of the quick change of direction that we're looking for. There are some other options. One of the options is the split-fingered fastball that was very much in vogue in the 80s and now is coming back a little bit more in the 90s. And the split-fingered fastball is basically exactly what it says. We start off with a two-seam grip and we just keep spreading our fingers until we get the ball to where it comes up to the plate looking like a fastball. And one of the nice things about the split finger, it comes out of your hand looking like a fastball, it loses velocity, and then it goes down. One thing that we want to do on this, we want to have as little thumb involvement as possible. We move our thumb off to the side of the ball. You keep experimenting on grip. Maybe you're going to want to go more of a four-seam grip, but a lot of pitchers can't get that ball inside their fingers, and maybe it takes time and they have to work and gain flexibility in there. But we don't want this thumb on there too tight because then that tightens up the wrist. And I'm going to throw that split finger just like my fastball. The only thing I'm going to do, and I should back up and say, I'm going to throw it just like my cut fastball and make sure I stay over the ball with my fingers. And what that does, we want to retard that pronation as much as possible. That gets that ball coming out with backspin and then it loses velocity and then it goes down. A lot of times pitchers will take that pitch and they'll put a little pressure with their thumb and it'll move down and towards their arm side. Again, we want a high velocity pitch. If this pitch comes out and it doesn't do anything and it has too much spin on it, then I've got to spread my fingers farther, dig it back in there a little bit deeper. or move it out and make sure it's a little bit deeper. If it comes out and it waffles and like a knuckleball, which is not what we're looking for here, we're looking for a power type breaking ball, then it's in there too deep. So I have to continually experiment with my grip to find out the right grip for me. And this thumb movement, the thumb placement generally along the side, but sometimes if you tuck that thumb a little bit, that works better for certain people. So it's a pitch that you need to experiment. It's thrown just like your fastball. You want to stay over, or just like your cut fastball, you want to stay over the ball, just like you do on your cutter. Retard that pronation so we can get that hard tumbling action. That may not work either. Here's another option, and we call it a knuckle fastball. And basically what I'm doing is I'm taking a four-seam knuckleball grip with my knuckles, and I'm throwing this pitch exactly like my fastball. And for some people, they use one knuckle and throw it. For the majority of people, two knuckles. And I'm not necessarily pushing with my knuckles. I'm just letting it come out with that hard knuckleball grip. And what I'm going to get is a pitch that's very similar to the split finger. It'll come up to the plate with fastball trajectory and then go down real hard. That's another option. Out of those pitches, we should be able to find something that has some bite and power to it. And if we can't, then maybe that breaking ball has to be another contrast pitch for you. Now you have to work with the abilities of your pitchers. There are a number of pitchers, especially young pitchers, who feel like, well, they're knuckleball pitchers, and they mix in the knuckleball. And my feeling is this: you're either a knuckleball pitcher or you're not a knuckleball pitcher. If you're a knuckleball pitcher, you basically throw majority of knuckleballs, because the knuckleball is a stiff-wristed pitch with a low elbow for the most part. Now, I'm not talking about a knuckle fastball. I'm talking about that knuckleball that comes up and dances and moves. And very few young pitchers should be knuckleball pitchers. The first thing they should find out if they can pitch with their basic fastball, changeup, and breaking ball. Then, if they're not having the success that they want to have, then they go maybe try the knuckleball. It's a pitch that takes a long time to develop. It takes time, it takes a lot of patience, and it certainly is not a pitch for a young pitcher, especially just starting out in pitching. Because one thing that it'll do, especially from being underneath the ball and pushing the ball, it'll destroy your downhill mechanics and it'll take miles per hour off your fastball. One drill we like to use for our breaking pitches, especially the downer curveball or three-quarter curveball or even the cut fastball, we like to start out with a softball. Take our breaking ball grip, get into a power no stride position. We like to start with the breaking with the softball because of the kinesthetic feel, but also the visual effect of this pitch simulates what we're looking for out of the hardball, because with the softball there's more air resistance against it. It will break harder and faster initially when you're first learning than the hardball. So we start out with this, and we start out in a power position with our power base. And we start out with the ball out of the glove. We come up into an up and forward position and throw this breaking ball with fastball hand speed. After we've done that a while, we'll start with the ball in the glove, rock back where we load up our backside, and same action. Then we'll go do the exact same drills with the hardball. Once we've done that, then we'll go back and go to a balance drill where we come up into our balance position, separate, and throw our breaking ball, maybe to the catcher in front of the plate, but the key here is just to work on the separation. Another option is to throw this breaking ball uphill. And one of the advantages of throwing the breaking ball uphill, it forces you to stay tall and get that elbow up and forward. And it forces you to reach and stay tall. When one of the real important factors on the curveball is to throw this ball nose out. If I start to release it behind my head, I get that real loopy up and down breaking ball. all these breaking ball drills that we're doing right now are short drills. They're like 30-foot, 20-foot type drills. And here's another one coming back to our familiar double ball. Again, this gives that pitcher the visual of throwing the front side of the ball, and it'll give us the angle that we're looking for in terms of break. Not only will they be able to feel it, but they'll be able to see the break that they want, so that they can see if they're trying to tilt that breaking ball, that it'll have more of that 7-to-1 spin, 1-to-7 type spin, rather. So you can see this. Or if we're looking for a downer curveball, they can see and also feel, which gives them a kinesthetic sense of where their hand has to be to throw a pitch that has the type of rotation that they want on it. These are all lead-up drills to throwing your breaking balls. You're going to have days with all your pitches where they're going to be average, they're going to be good, they're going to be exceptional. When you have a day where you have an exceptional breaking ball, where you have an exceptional fastball, or you have an exceptional changeup, what we like our pitchers to do right after the game is to get a ball, get the grip that they had that day so that they can get a feel for that grip, take a marking pen, outline their grip on the ball, put the date on it, put the type of pitch, and keep it in their locker. Because with a long season, you're going to go through periods where you lose the feel for your fastball. You'll lose the feel for your changeup. You'll lose the feel for your breaking ball. And when you can come back and take that ball where you had an exceptional day with that particular ball and that particular grip, a lot of times you'll flash back, you'll get the feel for it again, and there'll be less variation and deviation between your bad days and your great days. Now you have a concept for developing the basic pitches, fastball, breaking ball, and changeup. Now it's up to you to develop those pitches so primarily you can hit your target. Pitching is about hitting your target. Once you hit your target, you have very little control over what's going to happen. How do you develop those skills? You develop those skills by purposeful practice. Every time you throw with a purpose, to a target, a particular location, with your mechanics, effective mechanics, the type of release point you want to throw the type of pitch. Then you develop a game plan for your pitches based on your particular skills. Are you going to throw breaking balls and changeups behind in the count? Are you going to be able to challenge hitters? Knowledge of hitters, knowledge of your own abilities and your skills, along with purposeful practice, is going to maximize your ability to be successful. I'd like to thank you for watching this tape today. Hope you can use some of the material to make you or your ball players better. Remember, there's no one way to do things. There are a lot of different options. What's good for one person is not good for another person. I hope you can find something in this tape that is going to be good for you.